How About Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool, and here we are. The divisional week of the playoffs has arrived, and your Dallas Cowboys have found a suitable opponent, and it is a rematch with the Aaron Rodgers-led Green Bay Packers. So it's going to be an exciting game at home in Dallas this time. We have got a lot to get to, specifically about this week's opponent and about the playoff matchup. So we're going to start off with some more kind of 10,000-foot view thoughts on the game, and then I'm going to just kind of jump right in and talk about matchups for the upcoming game for this Sunday. But like I said, we're going to start from the 10,000-foot view in the segment that we always start off with, Check With Me.
Wide 80! Wide 80! Kill, kill, kill!
All right, like I said, some overarching schematic stuff that I wanted to just kind of discuss up front before we started diving into the more, you know, matchup-driven stuff. So one thing I wanted to bring up was the turnover differential. Now, Green Bay has a very high turnover differential. And I think a lot of times what ends up happening is, you know, you get a lot of Aaron Rodgers numbers against defenses that are trying to make plays against him and trying to, you know, force an issue because they are behind in the turnover battle or they've lost a possession due to the fact that they've turned the ball over, one too many times. And I think, you know, since Green Bay is really good at not turning the ball over, that puts an added layer of pressure on defenses to try to make a play to steal a possession back from Green Bay. And I think ultimately that kind of has negative returns on your overall defensive play. And I think that, you know, not that Green Bay or that New York necessarily had a huge turnover differential, but I think New York's style of play is very similar to what you would see as for a team that is, you know, kind of got their back against the wall and trying to attack Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, with a lot of these elite level quarterbacks, MVP level quarterbacks, it's usually not a great idea to try to come after these guys, to try to blitz them, because they usually will just eat your blitz alive and try to just pick it apart because they know where the holes are. They know where to throw to. They know their guys are going to be in the right spots. They know how to check in and out of it. They know how to identify all the blitzes that you're going to throw at them. And I mean, you may get a couple home, but usually with these guys, you know, blitzing does more harm than good. And so I think it's worth noting that Dallas has a very high turnover differential as well. And one of the reasons that Dallas has been, you know, successful throughout the season is that they haven't turned the ball over a lot. And you can say what you will about Dak Prescott, but he's been pretty good. I mean, he definitely has had some issues with fumbling the ball, and that's something that he's going to need to clean up. But overall, the Cowboys don't turn the ball over a lot. So I think what that means is that Dallas is not going to feel that level of desperation to try to blitz more like some other teams that Rodgers has kind of carved up. They're not going to feel that they have to come after Rodgers in order to make things happen or to make a play. If Dallas's offense can do their job, the Dallas defense can force Aaron Rodgers to take his time, and Dallas defense can be patient and not take risk to force a play. and I think that is definitely, the formula for success. I think the formula for success is not to try and stop Aaron Rodgers. It's to try and slow Aaron Rodgers down and then, take time and possessions away from him with your offense and score points with your offense. And that kind of leads me to my second point, which is that I really hope that we see and I expect us to see a lot of this kind of, and I'm not exactly sure what they're calling it. I've heard it called the Ruby defense, the dollar defense. But this kind of three-man defensive line, the mush rush sort of, clog and cover. We've heard all the terms. And Dallas has been really successful with it throughout the season. And a lot of it has to do with, the uptick in coverage that's been going on. Everyone has talked about the addition of Greg Jackson as a defensive back coach. And I think that has really made a huge difference. And I also think that we've mentioned before, the elevation to of Eberflus to defensive passing game coordinator has kind of just helped the coverages overall. I think they're masking coverages a lot better than they were previously. I think that they're coordinating better, which means, when a player is in zone and they've got to pass a player between their zones, that handoff is a lot smoother and they're not allowing huge gaps in the zones for offensive players to run and sit in and be wide open. So, and they're rallying and tackling, which is another huge thing. So I really think that the kind of template for what we want to see or what we should see from this Dallas defense versus Aaron Rodgers came in week six. And even though, they called Justin Durant for a penalty on his tackle early in the second quarter, and I'm talking within the first minute of the second quarter, they got a sack on Rodgers. And the play ends up being called dead because they called Durant for a face mask when he was tackling Rodgers. But there was a play where they rushed three and they kept Durant kind of on a green dog where he was kind of waiting, shadowing Rodgers until his feet settled. And once he saw that Rodgers kind of was running out of options, then he started to apply pressure late and then was able to get him down and get a sack. Now, the mechanics of the tackle and the trigger finger happiness of the refs to call that sort of thing, especially against superstar quarterbacks, it caused Durant to be called for the penalty. But I think the overall idea of dropping seven, putting a guy a linebacker to watch Aaron Rodgers to keep in front of him is a plan that is successful and that can really get some things. If we're seeing Aaron Rodgers sitting in the pocket, having to scan through options, and he can't find anything that he can throw to, that means the Cowboys have done a great job, and that means the Cowboys are that much closer to winning the football game. All right, let's talk about some specific matchups, shall we? And just a note, and I probably should have said something up front. I apologize for my voice and the coughing and stuff. I'm trying to fight off a cold. I'm trying to power through. Trying to get through this and win a playoff game, so I'm just keeping my head down. So please excuse my occasional throat clearing. But starting, I think the good place to start is with Green Bay's offense, and starting up front. I think the matchups up front and their offensive line versus our defensive line is interesting because now you get basically a fully healthy defensive line back. I mean, we're still kind of waiting to hear exactly what the status of DeMarcus Lawrence is. He didn't practice, and I think he had some last week. I think he had some start-stop sort of issues of, he'd get into practice, and then he couldn't finish practice. And then, so guys like Mike Fisher, who are really, in touch, beat guys who, are kind of keen on this kind of thing, They are very skeptical and feel very skeptical. And I think I've even heard Broadus too kind of get a little bit skeptical about Lawrence's availability. But, we'll know a little bit more about Lawrence's status as the week progresses. But outside of that, mostly you get a fully healthy defensive line. So you got your full complement of guys that you've, at least the guys that you've been used to through the season. Now, obviously, Randy Gregory and the appeal situation didn't go the way the Cowboys wanted, so he's not going to be back in this game. But I think, when you consider just where this defensive line has come and the numbers they put up, it's, you have to be a little bit impressed. And I looked it up the other day, too. They had the same amount of sacks as Marinelli's 2010 Chicago Bears team, which is a pretty good team and actually ended up in the NFC Championship losing the Packers. but I know that seems ominous, but the truth of the matter is that I think where this defense is different than that defense is specifically in the ability to spread the load out across multiple lines of waves of defenders. And I think that's what makes this defense maybe a little bit more of a difficult matchup at times is that, you'll see the traditional four man front. They'll do the slants. They'll come up at you, coming off the ball hard. And then, you know, on third down, they'll either have their normal nickel package or they'll bring in this defense that we've discussed, this three-man line, and then they'll do some kind of, a lot of different variations of it. One, you know, they have one where the defensive tackle is basically a nose or a shaded nose, like right over the center. They'll have ones where you'll have your normal nose tackle, and then a linebacker will line up as in a three tech position and blitz. They'll have ones where they have the defensive tackle lined up as a nose tackle, the outside defensive ends kind of in, like, you know, sometimes wide nine techniques, anywhere from like seven to nine techniques. And then they'll pepper the A gaps with the two linebackers who will pretend either, you know, fake blitz, or one will blitz and one will peel off and cover, you know. And they've been basically using those kind of ability to kind of mix all those things up while still kind of maintaining, you know, simplistic schemes to kind of confuse teams. And I think one of the things that really is helping this defensive line is kind of putting them in different positions and rotating them around and letting them play kind of all over the field. I think, you know, guys like, you know, Malik Collins and Terrell McClain have kind of defined positions, and they're doing really great jobs on the inside. But, you've seen Tyrone Crawford go in and out. You've seen David Irving have a lot of success going in and out. You've seen Jack Crawford play different spots. And, you know, and now we're going to get Cedric Thornton back, and that's just going to help with some of the stuff inside. I just feel like there's going to be a lot of really great matchups because this Green Bay offensive line is really good. Bakhtiari is, you know, if you think Tyron Smith's the number one left tackle in football, Bakhtiari might be number two. And Brian Bulaga is no slouch as a right tackle by any stretch of the imagination. So they really are strong on the outside. Now, inside, they may not be quite as good. TJ Lang is a good guard, for no doubts, but Lindsley and Lane Taylor are you know, pretty average. I mean, they would definitely be more of the Doug Free and the Leary of their group. So I, you know, one thing I would look for is, you know, I think the battle inside. I think for Dallas to really have some success in this matchup, they're going to need to have a lot of success inside, and that's Malik Collins, that's Terrell McClain, and then that's, you know, David Irving and Crawford and whoever's kind of coming in there on pass rushing downs to rush inside. So you look for those guys to try to exploit these matchups a little bit. Bakhtiari's tough, man, and I think, you know, you're going to see a heavy dose of Mayoa and then whatever DeMarcus Lawrence can throw at Bakhtiari. But I really do think that he's going to be a tough cookie to crack. They don't give him a lot of help because he doesn't need a lot of help. So I think that you're going to hope more for some production out of Bulaga and maybe some of the inside guys. But, you know, I don't know that, like, fully rushing or going after Aaron Rodgers full steam is always the best way. You definitely want to try to get him moving backwards or feeling uncomfortable in the pocket, but I think the best way to kind of accomplish that might be interior pressure. So, the best pressure might be for a quick Malik Collins sack or a Terrell McClain manhandling Lindsey inside and able to get Aaron Rodgers kind of moving backwards or you know, not like, you know, rolling out or getting out of the pocket and throwing a dart downfield. So those are the kind of things that need to happen. I think that what's really important is you got to have a proper rush depth, so you don't let him escape out of the pocket, because out of the pocket he's going to make plays, and he's got good enough athleticism that he can make plays with his legs. And it's not like 2014 where he had the calf injury. He's mostly healthy, so got to keep him in the pocket. If you're going to get good pressure, your best chance to get pressure that's going to get home is probably in his face. So hopefully some of the guys inside can, you know, match up well with some of their guys. On the outside, this is where I think the Cowboys match up the best, especially offensively. I really, you know, we don't know what Nelson's status is for the game. He clearly broke two ribs, it's sounding like, and the idea of him playing, you know, he had to spend the night in the hospital that Sunday night after the game. So he may play, he may not play. I tend to think that he probably won't play, but if he does play, he's going to be obviously less than 100%. And if he doesn't play, then I think that, you know, Green Bay's going to be in a little bit of a tough situation. I think, you know, they're going to have you know, Geronimo Allison to come out and kind of step in for that other guy. But outside of that, you know, they're going to really have to lean heavily on Cook and Cobb and Adams. Cook being the tight end, Jared Cook and Randall Cobb and Adams, the second-year player, I think, from I can't remember where he's from. But anyways, he's probably a third-year because he actually had a big game against Skandrick, if I remember correctly, in the 2014 playoff game as well. So, but long story short, I think that this is actually a much better matchup for the Cowboys, especially this time around. You know, if you remember, the third corner on this team going into that 2014 matchup was Sterling Moore. And even the last time the Cowboys played the Packers in Week 6, they didn't have they had Claiborne, but they didn't have Skandrick, if I remember correctly. So, you know, I think having the full complement of their defensive backs healthy for the first time in a while, especially considering how well they've played, is going to be really, really useful. They're going to be able to go four wide. They're going to be able to go against four wide without any problem. Basically, whatever, you know, kind of deployment that Green Bay is going to have, especially if Nelson's out, whatever Green Bay deploys, Dallas is going to easily be able to match up with some pretty strong numbers. And you know, just based on how Dallas's defense has played, defensive backfield has played throughout the season, I don't think that they're going to necessarily beat Rodgers by themselves, but I definitely think that this is a team that is built to give Rodgers some problems, because I think Rodgers, is going to have a hard time throwing to guys who aren't open. I think when we're able to drop more guys into coverage, play a little bit tighter to the wide receivers, get make plays on the football, you close those windows up tight, and you know, you can give Aaron Rodgers a lot of time, but if he can't find anybody to get open, it's not going to mean much. So I really feel strongly that I think that our group can match up well with their receiving core and their tight ends, because I think that there's a lot of talent in this defensive backfield and they're getting a lot of it back. So I like what Claiborne is. I think Claiborne's going to come back solid. You know, I think some people have talked about his look at how he's come back from injury previous years and not played well. Well, I also think he wasn't playing well those seasons when he came back from injury, and I think he was playing fantastic when he got injured this year. So I tend to be a little maybe more bullish than some people that I think Claiborne's going to have a good game. And then, you know, Skandrick's been given time to rest a little bit more, and he's been kind of working through his injury throughout the season too. So he's gotten better as it's gone on. And I think, you know, some weeks off is only going to be better for him. And then, you know, Carr, Byron Jones, Barry Church, they've been playing solid all season long. And so I just feel strongly that these guys can be able to do some things coverage-wise against this. That's going to make Aaron Rodgers a little bit frustrated. And then as far as backfield goes, I think, you know, Montgomery and C Mike are going to be an interesting group. I think C Mike is extremely, extremely inconsistent. There's a possibility that James Starks could play, but it just, you know, he's missed so many weeks with this concussion that it sounds like that car accident that he was in was not great. So I just think that probably you're going to see C Mike and Montgomery. Montgomery, you know, we only got to see a little bit of when we played them in Week 6, and he clearly has been really, really playing well, or at least putting up good numbers and between then and now. And so it'll be interesting to see how much of a run attack Green Bay comes out and tries to show us. But I think that, you know, you get Sean Lee a few weeks to rest, so he's fresh, and he's playing his first playoff game, which is kind of hard to believe, but true. And I think you're gonna have some things. They've also got fullback Ripkowski, who is big John Kuhn type, he got actually got sunned a couple times by Landon Collins in the Giants game, so maybe not quite as Kuhnish as John Kuhnish, I should say, as other people would like to believe he is. But I think that he can catch the ball in the backfield. He can do some things with the ball in his hands on short yardage. So just, you know, kind of a typical Green Bay H-back, fullback type. And then it's a round, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. We all know about Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to break any news here about him. You guys know what kind of player he can be. As far as our linebackers, we talked about Lee. Hitchens and Durant are kind of cobbled together as a Mike linebacker combo. Hopefully they're going to be able to, keep the bad plays down and the good plays up. And that's really the key, is just that you hope that you can hobble together these guys enough that they don't just give you a whole bunch of negative plays, or you can just kind of minimize the amount of negative plays. Because I think playing these guys, either one of these two guys, too long, you get negative returns after a while. And then finally, it's Damian Wilson as their Sam linebacker. I think Damian Wilson was kind of a key in the Week 6 game. That was kind of his coming out party a little bit. I tend to think he's going to be useful all throughout this game, especially if they can't get Jordy Nelson to play in this game. They may decide that they're going to try to play with a little bit more 12 and do some things that would cause us to kind of get back into our base packages and then try to expose that. An athletic linebacker like Damian Wilson could be a very important key to this game. So keep that in mind. Then flipping on to the other side, we have a pretty I like the advantage that we've got, especially considering our game plan with our offensive line versus their defensive line. I kind of grouped together the outside linebackers as part of the defensive line, quote unquote. But, look, I think Tyron Smith's going to have his way with Clay Matthews like he did last time, frankly. I know Clay Matthews made that play last week with everyone, I guess, fell asleep, and Clay Matthews is the only person who realized that was a live ball. No one was playing through the whistle. But outside of that, he wasn't playing amazing, and I think Dallas has got a much better offensive line to handle a guy like that. Kenny Clark and LaTroy Guyon inside, I think they could do some things, but I really do think that Dallas is going to be able to run the ball like they did last time, maybe even more effectively because you have an even fresher Zeke, and these guys are a little bit fresher too. I really like the matchup of our three interior guys versus whoever they're going to put out there. I think Mike Daniels is a premier defensive tackle in this league. He's one of the better players as a defensive tackle in this league. But I really have confidence that the sum total of what we're going to get from our three interior guys is going to be much better. Mike Daniels was extremely frustrated, as a lot of you have seen in the videos that have been circling Twitter with the audio when he got mic'd up. He clearly was frustrated by this unit last time. I hope for that. I'm hoping that will continue, and I feel like it will continue. Where we have to watch out is Julius Peppers is going to be up against Doug Free. Now, I think this is a key spot for them to try to give Free some help on the outside, especially against Julius Peppers. And then, they're going to rotate in Nick Perry as well. So watch for Nick Perry and, on the other side, Dante Jones and Kyle Fackrell to kind of get rotated in. They're all outside pass rush types that are that will get rotated in and you'll see snaps in pass rushing situations. Overall, I think one of the problems that they're going to face here is that ultimately they only come to the games with five true defensive linemen, like hands on the ground defensive linemen. I mean, you can count Peppers if you want, and maybe Dayton Jones can do some stuff for them as well, but I just feel like that is, as good as Mike Daniels is and as good as, at times Kenny Clark and Guyon can be, I just feel like that they're going to get worn down. Like, that's just asking to get worn down, and I just don't know that the way this team is constructed on the front line of the football team, I just don't know that they're capable of withstanding the onslaught of rushing that's going to come at them for 60 minutes. Last thing before we move on back a level. The other thing to look out for here is Leo Collins might be cleared for practice. It'll be interesting to see if he actually practices this week. And if he does, there's a good chance that he could come off of the IR and be made active for this game. And if he does, look for him to kind of play that second, that sort of big tight end role, the sixth offensive lineman role. And if not, obviously, he'll probably go back to Looney. But I think that could be a pretty awesome upgrade to get a guy like Lael Collins as that sixth OL, that second blocking tight end. So look out for that. And then moving back or an outside a level, just basically wide receivers and tight ends versus defensive backs. I think I don't really know whether Quentin Rollins is going to be playing or not. You know, he didn't play last week. It'll be interesting to see what the injury report says. But even if they do, I think the matchups outside especially really favor Dallas. I think Gunter is the guy that they kind of put on Odell Beckham Jr. the entire game and then gave him safety help the entire time. It'll be interesting to see if that's how they try to play Dallas, try to play Dez as well. But if they do that, I mean that's really going to open up the run game a lot, and it's also going to open up opportunity for guys like Witten and Beasley and Williams as well to really kind of exploit that. And I think that's where they're going to have kind of a pick your poison decision to make. They've got two solid to good safeties. Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett play their roles very well. I think they're kind of holding what is a struggling group of not super talented corners together. Quentin Rollins is a growing player, and I like Demarius Randall a lot, but I just don't they're not quite there yet. And Gunther is really just not a great athlete. He's got pretty decent technique, but he's just not like physically super talented. So I think that there's lots of areas for them to win here. They'll throw in a Micah Hyde from time to time, especially if Rollins is injured. You're going to probably see a lot of Micah Hyde coming in and kind of taking his place. But I think that there's going to be room in the middle of the defense for Beasley and for Witten to make hay. I think they're gonna have some things like for Lucky Whitehead, so watch out for that. I just feel like it's gonna be interesting to see what poison they decide to go with, and if they decide to leave Bryant one on one and see if he can beat them. I have a feeling that the revenge element because this is his first time to play since the 2014 game with the infamous catch, not catch. It'll be interesting to see exactly what he does. If I'm Green Bay, I'm probably just going to try and double Bryant and then just see what I can do with the rest of the group. But it's a tough decision because, honestly, doubling Bryant opens up problems in both your run defense and your pass defense. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how they decide to play that. And then finally, to the last grouping, offensive backs versus the linebackers. You're going to probably see the same kind of lineup: Dunbar, DMC, and Zeke as your running back. Obviously, to me, I think Zeke is the key to this game in a lot of ways. So I would keep an eye on his touches. I was talking to Dan Turner as a friend of the show. Make sure you follow a guy like Dan Turner at DTS Turner. I really think that they've been saving Zeke in a lot of his carries for good reason. They've been kind of sparing him a lot of carries later in the season. And I think what they've been doing is getting him ready, getting him fresh for this. So I would not be surprised if you saw 30-plus touches for Zeke for the rest of the way out. And frankly, I hope that they do, because I really think that is going to be part of the hammer that is going to deliver the crushing blows to this defense. So watch for Zeke to get a ton of carries. I don't know that DMC will get a lot. They'll probably just spell Zeke whenever he needs it. And then, of course, Dunbar will be in his kind of normal package. Keith Smith, still going to be fullback. I don't know how much fullback they're going to be running. I think it all depends on exactly how Green Bay decides that they want to play this game. If they're going to try to make full commitments to stopping the run, you might see a little bit fullback to try to loosen things up a little bit. Otherwise, I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas tried to run a lot out of 11. So, that means Keith Smith probably not on the field. So, as far as the Green Bay linebackers go, Ryan and Martinez are their guys. Martinez he's got an injury thing that happened in the last game, so it'll be interesting to see exactly what his status is. And Ryan has been kind of a revelation for these guys as a middle linebacker. So they're decent. I would compare them probably to New York's linebackers. They can get the job done, but they're not anything to write home about. So Dallas just needs to get a body on them. But these guys are destroying our run game by themselves, probably. But they, you know, again, they're capable NFL linebackers, so someone's got to get them blocked. Otherwise, they will make tackles. And then finally, Dak. I think it'll be interesting to see exactly what Dak looks like coming out after the layoff. I mean, I think a lot of people are worried about this layoff, but to me, it feels like it's probably closer to what they're used to. I mean, the rookies are used to going to college and playing their regular season and then waiting a month and then playing a bowl game. And that's kind of basically what happened with Zeke and Dak to a certain degree. So, or with a little bit less of a layoff. I guess they did play in the Philly game, or at least Dak did. But I think the point is that I think that Dak will hopefully come out hot. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a slight uptick in zone reads, because there's no reason not to run them a little more. You're not having to preserve Dak as much because there's only three games left if we're good. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a little bit more running out of Dak. And it'll be interesting to see exactly how Green Bay decides that they want to cover or try to stop our offense, and then to see exactly how Dallas responds to that. So the chess match continues. I am so, so excited. So, guys, we're going to have another pod probably this week, Thursday. So make sure you guys come back and check us out. We'll have a little bit more information about injuries and that sort of thing. So between now and then, make sure you're checking out FanRagSports.com for all updates on this game and other football games throughout the league, and reviews on the national championship game and all kinds of different stuff. So make sure you're checking them out, and make sure you follow me on Twitter, at McCoolBTB. That's at MCCOOL. BTB, and until Thursday, happy trails, everybody.